The IAC Pavilion is hopping today on Friday of Air Venture 2017, and we're sitting out here on their little porch overlooking the aerobatic area and a whole bunch of beautiful Christian Eagles parked out here and some game bird. There's a game bird here, which, Robert, this is a new airplane, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's actually about the third iteration of this gentleman's airplane, but it's a new design. It's type certificated now. And it will be off for sale shortly.
Is it a kit or a fully manufactured
airplane? It's a fully manufactured airplane. I think the option you get is the color that you like.
Okay. It's just like a car. No, but it looks really, there's an extra down there. Compared to the extra, it just looks different. It has different ergonomics.
Well, different missions. The gentleman designed the Game Bird actually used to work for Walter Extra. So his engineering background, his exposure to the aerobatic world and what pilots were looking for is what he brought with him to design his airplane. He has flown in world competitions, and he's a very competent pilot. I think he flew an air show yesterday. Obviously, he's not flying today. The airplane wouldn't be here. But this is the type of airplane you can buy that will do anything you want to do. It is more capable than most of the pilots that could get in it.
Uh-huh, I see. Speaking of pilots, we're just joined now by Cameron Jaxheimer. Cameron, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeff.
And it's good to see you here. And you, we were hoping to have Walter Extra on today. He wasn't able to make it into Oshkosh this year, and he was planning to be here because they're celebrating the anniversary of the airplane, as well as the Eagle. But you fly the Extra, and you fly the Extra in competition. And why don't you tell us about how you ended up going down that road?
Well, I started out competition in a super decathlon. I wanted to learn a little bit more about aerobatics, advance in the levels a little bit. So I went down to Sean Tucker School in California, started flying the Extra there. The Extra is an extremely capable aircraft, plus or minus 10 Gs. The wing was tested to 26 Gs without braking. So really the weak part on the Extra is the engine mounts. But just about any Extra can be flown in unlimited aerobatics.
And describe to our listeners, what is unlimited aerobatics? What's the difference between unlimited aerobatics and advanced aerobatics or intermediate aerobatics?
Unlimited aerobatics is the highest level in competition and in world competition. Introduce new figures into unlimited from advanced, those being tail slides and outside snaps for the most part. But with every level of competition, base figures like loops and hammerheads are made more complex with multiple rolling figures on those base figures.
You have anything to add to that, Robert?
Well, I was going to say, as the categories increase from sportsman, you do no inverted flying. Intermediate, you do a little bit of inverted flying. Advanced, you start doing a little more stuff on the vertical lines up and down. And when you get to unlimited, they just turn all the pages and said, we're going to do this up, inverted, sideways, backwards. And, by the way, you got 10 minutes to study it. Go fly.
Okay. So they're going to hand you you're going to fly.
You have a little more time than that. But your unknown program is that unknown. Your freestyle, you design, you should have practiced. The known is published. You've practiced. The unknown on a world contest and many of our local contests is designed on site, and you get the unknown and you'll have no less than 12 hours to study it. And hopefully if it takes longer than that, there's a weather delay. But the only time you fly it is for the judges. You don't get to practice it.
Oh, that's interesting. Have you flown that, Cameron?
Yeah, so unknowns are introduced into competition starting with intermediate. So there's no unknowns in sportsman or primary. But the big challenge with the unknown is you really have to know the capabilities of your aircraft and the capabilities of yourself. At the world level, we call them free unknowns, where 10 teams choose figures, and then you have to figure out a way to put it together that's going to kind of more based off of your own flying style and your aircraft's capabilities. But here in the U.S. with the IAC, we stick to regular unknowns. So they're designed by the governing board, which is the IAC, and you're giving them, I want to say, maximum
each category has, there's a maximum, because you don't want them to know it too long, because you may have one of the figures in the unknown in your freestyle. Not really cheating, but unfavorable characteristics. The unknown is sometimes the deciding flight in the competition, because if everyone has practiced the known, everyone has practiced the freestyle, then no one has practiced the unknown. So multiple many hours of practice won't necessarily help you at all in the unknown. If you haven't done many hours of practice and flown all the figures that could be available for your unknown.
Oh, okay.
So in domestic, at U.S. side, IAC, the unknown for, say, an intermediate category is basically sportsman-type flying. It's not as complex. On the advanced level and unlimited level, it doesn't reduce the severity of the maneuvers for the unknown. Some of them are worse than you would ever put in your freestyle. And that's the purpose is...
That's the goal. We need talent
to separate the talent here. The good ones will compete and do well. The bad ones will slip here and they won't be on the podium.
Well, Cameron, last year you went to Worlds. That was the first time you ever did, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What did you think? Was it overwhelming or was it totally manageable?
It was manageable. It was a lot of work for sure.
I guess we should tell the listeners, you're 22 years old. You know, you're a youngster in the world of aerobatics compared to your compatriots out there, and so it must have just been an interesting feeling being the young guy on the block and going to the Worlds.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So my first aerobatic instructor, Ben Freelove, down at Shawn School in California, was on the advanced world team when I was down there training with him. And I'd flown a little bit in the decathlon and started flying the extra, and I knew I wanted to start with sportsman. But he kind of inspired me to make the goal to make the advanced team 3 years later. So between my first competition and making the U.S. team in advanced was 3 years, and that was it was pretty amazing. It was a pretty amazing feeling being out there in Poland.
Pretty steep climb.
Sorry?
Pretty steep climb, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, many of the figures, as they get complex, even though from the ground they don't look that different, just the orientation in the airplane, where your head slings as you go around, you can do one and understand where you are. Now you have to do that one, and less than a second later you have to start another one. So the curve you climb, you have to learn is how to complete one figure, be oriented enough at the completion to start this next one before going out of the box or incurring some other penalty. So part of the moving up in the category, you can do this, one off. Now do three in a row. And that's where you'll see the pilot do three in a row in practice, and then he's got to rest for a minute. Well, you can't do that in the contest, so your stamina. I mean, this is like weightlifting and roller skating or ice skating combined. You're trying to fly graceful maneuvers like an ice skater does on the ice, but you are in weight. You are the weight, and you're going heavy, and you're going negative where you're slinging out of the airplane all the time, trying to keep the airplane flying a nice, graceful figure in the sky.
I guess we should describe for our listeners what is a box.
In the competition, our stadium is an imaginary cube of airspace in the air that's marked on the ground so that you can see it. It's 1,000 meters. We go back to the international standard, 3,300 feet. It's marked on the ground. There are judges on the ground to see that you're inside that box. And the judges are judging your flying. There are penalties when you go out. They also grade your flight on how well you present it in the box. So they have a piece of paper that has the maneuvers on it, and they're looking for you to fly these figures in such a manner that you present it to them well. So it's like a stage. Instead of you being on the stage, you're in the audience, and they're on the stage watching you because it's bigger out there. But you have to have a field of play, and it's the aerobatic box. So you get penalized for going high, big penalties for going low, penalties for going out. And if you have any penalties at a world contest, you're not going to win because what was the top score? How many points was the top score? Over 10,000?
I can't remember exactly what the top score was, yeah. But...
At one of these world events, the combined top score for the winner will be 8,000 to 10,000 points, and third place may be only 2 points behind that. So if you've got
close.
A 30-point penalty, you're not even there.
Yeah.
So it's very important not only to fly the maneuvers, but to be able to keep them in the box and don't incur any penalties.
Well, you answered one of my questions already, and that would be... Why don't people just get disqualified if they go out of the box? And they are basically
they disqualify themselves by the fact that virtue they're not going to win. Yes.
And to put this into perspective, 1,000 meters at 180 knots is covered in 10 seconds. So there's not much time to figure out where you are and stay in the box. You need to know where you are at all times.
Which is kind of hard when, like Robert said, you're coming out of one maneuver to another and you're banging your head against the right. canopy.
And that's the part of the learning curve in competition is there is no place to rest. And you have to be physically ready and know where you're going to be in the airplane, where you've got to put the airplane, so that you don't get outside the box and get a penalty.
So you were talking about practicing earlier. It sounds like practice is key here.
It is practice, and also part of the key is the expression study wrong, study long. So we have a lot of people now that are very good coaches, and so when he's practicing and when I'm practicing, there's a voice in my ear. And as you do a figure, every time it's not done the way your coach wants it done or it should be done, you're hearing feedback in ear, so you can correct. So it's improved our training tremendously to have some very competent trainers, coaches, if you want to call it, to help train. How many of you worked with 4 or 5 trainers since you started competing?
Yeah, I worked with Ben Freelove initially down in California, and then through working for Sean on the airshow circuit, I was able to meet Rob Holland, and he and Kevin Coleman took me under their wing to coach me and prepare me for the world tryouts and the world competition.
So when we're flying a figure and it's supposed to be a round loop, it's perfectly round, as you're flying it, your coach can tell you that you're tightening up or you need to tighten up or whatever. So instead of flying 10 figures and finding out later they weren't right, instantly when you're training, you have a voice telling you, you need to do this, back off, add more, take off. The same way with vertical lines. You may think you're going straight up and down. The judge is on the ground. He's the only one that counts. So when you've flown what you think is vertical and your coach tells you you're positive, you can correct it and remember that sight picture.
Well, sounds really wild. It sounds like a lot of hard work. Anyway, well, guys, thanks for joining us on the pavilion today for the On the Fly radio show. It looks like it's going to be a fantastic air show today.
Everyone's it's required to be a fantastic air show.
And we're looking forward to seeing the Blue Angels fly, too. I know you guys fly the light plane aerobatics. It must be really cool watching the jet teams fly.
It is.
All right, Cameron Jaxheimer, thank you very much. And Robert Armstrong, the brand new vice president of the IAC, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Jay Machi on the fly. We'll be at the seaplane base tomorrow. And don't forget, it's going to be a wonderful day out there. So if you haven't made it to the seaplane base and you've been here in AirVenture, make sure you get out to sea base tomorrow at 1 o'clock for On the Fly. Jay Machi signing off. You're listening to EAA Radio.